I wanted to ask you, Red, about the authors, because you speak to a lot of authors and you speak to a lot of narrators as well. And I wonder what you get from the authors in terms of their involvement in, if even they have a say in who is the voice of their audiobook version of the book they've written. Do they have a say in that? Can they have a say in it?
They always have a say in it. How much say often depends on how big, how famous they are. And then obviously you've got the authors who narrate their own books. I'll deal with them first. So, you know, somebody like Ben McIntyre, who is a TV presenter and an author and narrates his own books, he is the natural choice. He's also got a fabulous voice and puts all the intonation in exactly the right place. A less well-known author, maybe an author who's on their second or third book, and they, you know, they're beginning to knock on the door of being a bestseller, will usually be offered up to five sample narrators, and they'll be asked who their favourite from those five available narrators is, and generally they get the one that they want. That said, I've spoken to a few authors who just aren't that bothered, to be perfectly honest. They tend not to listen to audiobooks themselves. I don't tend to have them on as guests because really they're not that engaged with our side of things. But they see it very much as an afterthought. That said, every single one of them will now tell you that they are earning decent money from audiobooks. Mm. So I think they are becoming more and more focused. And of course, this is what, you know, this is the elephant in the room that we're talking about. You know, this AI is going to save the publishers money.
Yeah. And that's the point, because, of course, you know, yes, we all love having a narrator, but it takes a lot of time and a lot of money. But I wonder, though, and this is going to be, I guess, a product of time, that if, you know, it's going to take time and effort. Like you were saying earlier, Sean, they're not just hitting speak all. You know, and, you know, that's it, and hit and record. I mean, they have to go through this and tidy up. Maybe that is easier. I mean, maybe they can do that quicker than you can do it with having an actual narrator in the room. I don't know. I remember, just from our own point of view, I remember doing this for emails. We used to use a voice on the last show I did, and we used to use an AI voice, and it was pretty terrible, to be perfectly honest. But the issues were mainly around pronunciations, and you spent more time fixing those pronunciations. So, you know, I can't imagine what it would be like with a book. I did it with an email of a couple of paragraphs. I didn't have a 300-page book in front of me.
I don't think that's going to be easy. You know, the editing and previewing, even if it's... Because it's at the end of the day, still someone's got to listen and correct whatever's wrong. And there's no way to shortcut that.
But yeah, I mean, it was ever thus. I mean, I used to work in the Talking Book Studios in London, England, and there was a guy in post-production who would listen through all the books with the text in Braille, actually, in front of him, and he would be checking that every word was correct.
Wow.
Back in the day, longer ago, there used to be somebody there checking all the pronunciation. Now, that has gone out of the window. I listened to a book recently which the narrator, who clearly had been born probably in the 1990s, pronounced the word Luftwaffe, Luftwaffe, which really grated, especially since she did it about half a dozen times. And actually, by the end, I was just screaming. But, you know, that has gone. I think there will always be both the audiobook producer and somebody in post, and maybe it might be the same person, doing that. But if you've your average 100,000 word book takes about 4 or 5 days for a narrator to record, generally, depending on how professional they are. And then we'll take a little bit less than that to put through post-production. It'll take three and a half days, generally, if the person post-production's being fast. You know, all these people have to be paid, and I'm sure that is where publishers are going to be looking to trim out as much additional profit as they can. Whether we see that the AI books are sold at a lower price than those that are narrated by a proper narrator or not remains to be seen.
Yeah.
That's a good point. I didn't even think about that. Yeah. It is a skill, though, right? I mean, for these narrators, it is an amazing skill. It's so, because people make it sound so easy. But if you've ever tried to read anything out loud or tried to record yourself.
I'm always impressed by, because you think about it, the amount of work they have to do in advance to get that right. You know, it's not just a case of they can sit down and read it. Yes, okay, if you're seasoned, you're probably more capable of doing that. But, you know, it does take a lot of skill to be able to read something and make it seem, you know, in that way, or that way that you're telling a story, but it's that person is almost irrelevant. The story is what you're, it's like you were saying earlier, you're not focusing on the voice, you're focusing on the story. That's the hard bit.
Yeah, and don't get me wrong. I mean, I'm a huge admirer and huge fan of narrators. I've pretty much every single one I've ever talked to does a lot of homework, and that is all free homework, where they will sit down and they will mark up the book either in coloured pencils or, you know, on an iPad, so they know which voice they should be using for which character, and they're constantly referring back. And they are working really, really hard. They are worth every penny that they're paid. I'm a huge admirer of narrators. It's just, I know they cost money, and I have worked with publishers for long enough to know that they are looking at every penny.
I could barely afford an audiobook back in the day before Audible came along. Mm. It was, you know, $50, $60, $70, whatever.
I remember buying Obama's autobiography, and it was on CD, and it was £30, so that $50.
Yeah.
And, you know, you had to buy, and it was like one shelf in the Borders bookshop when I'd gone in. That was the audiobook shelf. That was my shelf. Out of all the floors and bookshelves in that place, I had one shelf. Yeah. And look how that's changed. And that's in my lifetime. So, you know, God.
And all your friends would have read that book about 6 months before
I got to
got it as well.
Well, 20 years with my Harry Potter. But I'm loving it, by the way. I'd suggest it's my recommendation. Everyone, check out Harry Potter.
Before you go, never mind Harry Potter, where do we get My Life in Books? Because it's a great show and it's well worth checking out.
Well, My Life in Books airs on Sunday the 15th, and it's featuring Josie Lloyd and her new novel, Life Saving for Beginners, which is all about the joy of wild swimming and the perils of taking your life for granted. Basically, it's about taking your life into your own hands, and it's perfect for the new year.
Oh, that's a good one.
Open swimming, wild swimming, are we up for that then, Stephen?
Nope.
Good. No, me either. Well done.
I would absolutely never be burned as a witch in this country of Scotland, because I would sink to the bottom like a stone.
I tried tempting him. Last time he came down to visit me in London, I said, come on, out onto Hampstead Heath. We're going to go for a swim in the men's pond. And he locked his door, barricaded himself in. He wasn't going
to
come.
I don't blame him, to be fair.
You know what was more impressive? There was no lock on that door, but I still locked it. Red, thank you. Thank you so much for coming on, Red, and best of luck with the show. Thank you for coming on and talking about this today.
Not at all. It's a pleasure.